You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned into the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. The squad is here. My man Jay Moore disrespecting the Pacers with the Knicks outfit on. What's up, sir?
First of all, this is not disrespect. I'm a fan of the NBA. Okay. While I am a Pacers fan, once again, I'll explain to you, I'm an alumni of SIU Carbondale, which one of our esteemed alumni is Walt Frazier. Walt Clyde Frazier, one of the best dressed men of the 1970s.
This is true.
80s, 90s, and right now.
This is true. Shout out to Clyde Frazier. I'm not mad at that. My man Longevity, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Doing good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling good?
Yeah.
I'm feeling great.
Just happy to see you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good to see you, too. Man, it's like, I didn't even see you until the show started, and you just appeared. You know, it's like, yeah.
Oh, man, DJ J Dib. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
Everything good?
Yep, everything's good, man.
Yeah, so you popped out the butter. Shout out to Butter. You took care of business on a DJ tip. I see.
Yeah, Butter was a good time, man, for those Indianapolis and the surrounding areas. It's actually national now. It was published in the New York Times.
Yep.
Dame Dash fell through a couple days.
He was there more than one day.
This is his second year coming, correct?
Yes.
You know what I thought about? I posted this on Instagram. I know we had a somewhat local-focused conversation last week, but it's really good to see Trees and then have Butter come behind it. I look at those as two successful events based in the city. And the conversation, we always talk about, you know, things to do and what city has what. But I think it's a good look for those two to come back to back, because to me, they were both a success. I was only a part of one. But from what you all are telling me, Butter obviously is a success, maybe a different level. But
it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Right, right.
And for people to say that there's nothing to do in the city is almost blasphemous.
Indianapolis is what we're talking about. But yeah,
look, just because you don't do anything in the city doesn't mean there's nothing to do in the city. You know, you sit at home and complain and reminisce on that one time you went to Atlanta and had a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
when people are traveling here to attend these events,
that's different.
And you can't wait to get out of the city because you're saying that there's nothing to do here.
Right.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the more I learn, or I'm learning, that paying attention to your surroundings in your city, there you can find things to do.
There's literally something to do here every weekend.
Right. Right.
I mean, look, Mike, you can speak to this. I mean, because you lived in Chicago.
I have.
You spent time in D.C.
I have.
You know, I mean, where you are is where you make it.
It is.
Because, you know, you can find something to complain about no matter where you live.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
So, because there's somebody in Atlanta who's like, well, maybe not. I don't know. Atlanta's weird.
They probably just tired of all these outsiders moving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I heard somebody on it. They's like, look, I don't know what anybody in Atlanta does for work. I just know the traffic is bad.
Yeah.
I know restaurants and clubs are open all night. I'm not sure if it's just a simulation down here, but we are full.
Yes.
Houston been saying the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Houston is on some other stuff now, too. And Houston, I've been, you know, kicked it in Houston, had a good time. But
I got a lot of friends in Chicago that
you want to kick it in Houston. You got to, you know, watch the company you keep.
I got a lot of friends in Chicago that have multiple complaints about the city of Chicago. So to y'all point, it's going to happen. Like each situation, there's going to be pros and cons to everything. Even when I was out east in the DMV, beautiful, gorgeous, but there's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah. So,
you know?
It is what it is.
Good time.
Successful events.
You know, but before we go any further, I just want to go ahead and acknowledge, you know, unfortunately, the passing of somebody who meant a lot, you know, because we'll get off this local thing in a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But,
yes, sir.
This cat named Mike Trees. At least that's how they
Mike Trees.
Yeah.
Mike Trees. Yep.
You know, got real name, Mike Chappelle. Unfortunately, he lost his life to violence over the weekend, and somebody was very respected here in the city. So I definitely didn't want, I had known him in passing, but I see how his passing has affected some people that I've worked very close with.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to acknowledge that, and best wishes and prayers to his family.
Absolutely. And those involved in Stop Beefing Radio, I know he was instrumental on not necessarily podcasts, but the interview show and things like that they had, and well connected, all of that. Definitely want to, our thoughts and prayers are with them as well.
100%. Did you guys see the Diddy gave some publishing out? His bike. He gave some publishing bike. So if I'm not mistaken, this covers the Locks, Mace, and Biggie's Faith Estate. Thank you. And Faith. So
I think all of them, right?
I think he gave everybody who's on Bad Boy, because I even saw Mark Curry.
Oh, for real?
Talking about why would I want that now?
Well, I mean,
give me whatever.
Give me whatever. That's the way I see it. Like, if you owe me something, get it. Because you remember that offer that
come on, man.
What was the offer Mace made? Was it $2 million when he was talking about, I'll pay you $2 million to get my.
Oh,
remember when they were having the comment, the beef?
Because 50 was, you know, Mace wanted to sign with G Unit, and 50 was like, I need $2 million.
Yeah, that's
and
what it was.
50
that's
was like.
Was.
Mace isn't worth $2 million with $2 million in his pocket.
Dang. You know, 50 don't care.
Yeah. So
how do you think this, I mean, is it this a better late than never situation?
Absolutely.
And yeah. Do we give Diddy his flowers for you
It's
know,
also too, okay. So it's a good thing that he's doing this.
Okay.
This is part of an album rollout.
100%.
He's going by
Love
now. So he's showing love. Before this album drops. And I ain't mad at him, because okay. I'm sure these people are happy.
Yep.
Because they've been needing this money since the 90s. Some of them. No. I mean, it's solid.
Well, the only part I have an issue with is like, you know, everybody else as far as their publishing and when they were signed to him, I get it. Because whether it be through paperwork or through payment, he's not obligated to give anything that he owns back to anybody.
Not
true.
Now, I do think it's foul, you know, that he kept Biggs publishing.
Yeah, I didn't even know he kept that publishing.
Now, but at the same time, I completely understand it when I see, you know, Juicy being played all through the new Transformers movie.
Mm. All through the new Transformers movie.
But nobody's ever said anything about that, though. So I've heard him say stuff about everybody else's money.
Right.
But I've never heard him say anything about Biggs' estate not getting anything.
If you remember when Jada and Styles
was talking about dropping
the refrigerator.
Yeah.
They talked about all I can hear is Jadakiss and Styles saying, "You still got your man's publishing." Like they was talking about it back then.
Wow.
About having Biggs publishing.
Biggie Mama ain't never said nothing.
Man.
His kids ain't never said nothing.
So my knowledge, they haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. He must have been doing something to make it look like he was moving pieces for them or something, mm-hmm. and really wasn't. But hey, good for them now.
I think it's dope that he did this. It's like, you know, it's a better late than never situation. I don't know what Mark Curry talking about, because to me, I want all of mine.
Well, man. No, I mean, Mark Curry, he said, you know, it was like if you stole my girlfriend and then like after you had a couple kids with her, now you'd be like, hey, you can have her back, which I can see. But at the same time,
that's
like,
not applicable here.
Yeah, nah. Exactly.
Thank you, Lone.
But, you know, first of all, I had forgotten there was somebody named Mark Curry even signed a Bad Boy, because the first one I saw Mark Curry, I was like, what is
Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, exactly. Why is Mr. Cooper upset that he
100%
at Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, it's only worth maybe $500, $700 here or there. I was like, once again, that's mailbox money.
Every time.
Run me mine, man. If you owe me that.
Run me mine
run
every
me that.
Time.
Yeah.
And
run
once
me
again,
that.
I don't, you know, look, I know everybody loves to talk about Puff Daddy and this, that, and the third, but I don't think Berry Gordy has ever offered anyone their publishing back. That's why he's still rich and shining to this day at like 90 years old.
I know of some rich people that work with or worked for Motown.
Mm-hmm.
I have a distant family member that actually worked in the front office of Motown.
Right.
And wrote a song or two. And she is very paid to this day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to her.
So,
well, I mean,
some people were taking care
of. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, but I saw something that it was, I don't know if I agree with him, but it was a very interesting take, because, you know, Irv Gotti was on Drink Champs. And, you know, despite the fact that they try to keep pushing Drink Champs on me, I do not subscribe to Drink Champs. And it's really hard for me to go. I can't get through an entire episode.
Mm,
a lot of times, the only reason I see Drink Champs is because, like, I fall asleep watching something else.
Yeah.
And it's on when I wake up.
Right.
But Irv Gotti was talking about, like, look, you know, why I didn't give people back their masters like that is because, you know, Ashanti can still go out on tour and take 100% of the money she makes on tour from performing the songs that I own and from performing the songs that I produced. And I don't get any money from that.
Well, that's a lot of people's record deal anyway.
Because exactly.
they don't get the money up front. They have to tour in order to eat.
You know, exactly. But, you know,
was his logic behind.
I can see what he's saying. It's like, look, these are things that I own.
Right.
You know, I am under no obligation. If I don't want to give them back to you, I can sell them to somebody else. And that's the business. It sounds nasty.
Yeah,
but we've talked about we talked about how dirty the record industry is, especially if you are on a certain level. Like,
it's got boo-boo in it.
like we're coming up on the 40th anniversary of it's going to be the 40th anniversary of New Edition.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's always been what I've gone to when I talk about how dirty the record industry is, because somebody stole from children.
Yeah. Gave them mopeds and sent them back to the
and we project. Still don't know.
Document it.
And we don't, to this day, if you ask the members of New Edition, hey, where does the, like, you can still stream the whole Candy Girl album.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where does that money go?
Not,
they're like, it doesn't go to us.
Doesn't go to them. Yep. Doesn't go to them.
You know, and this is after 40 years where rights are supposed to revert back and this, right. that, and the third. And they're still.
So they got to keep touring.
Yeah. No, they've talked about how they have to tour because they've never been an artist that have made any money off of records. And that's most artists.
You got to look at the gaps between their records, too, because Mike Bibbs was talking about, what, every seven ish years they drop a project.
No, because
that's
like,
how it was back then.
Well, no,
you know what I'm saying?
This is the thing. Like, it was like Candy Girl 83, New Edition 84. Then they put out
the one we don't talk about.
No, yeah, no, that was 86.
We'll bring
then
that
they
one
put
up.
Out in the same year they put out All for Love and a Christmas album. Mm. Like at one point they were working these kids to death, you know, and then Heartbreak comes and then they kind of break up and start doing their own thing.
Right.
Then Home Again. And then it's like another 7 or 8, you know, and then they haven't put out an album since like 2005, 2006.
Yeah, when they was on Bad Boy.
Yeah. So,
but I think Terry's on to it with, there's a good call with Diddy. He's smart. It's a rollout. You know, rollout. This goes in line perfectly with him.
Not to mention he don't need the project. Money.
He does not need the bread.
Well, maybe.
Nah.
Okay. Diddy needs the money?
Look, part of the reason he was in that billionaire class is because we thought he actually had ownership in Ciroc. Come to find out he only put $10,000 up, and once he started complaining, Ciroc was like, yeah, you can get out of here with that.
Mm. Well,
you know, yeah. The thing is, Ciroc had fallen off so hard. Like, as somebody who works in that industry, it used to be, you know, the whole thing was Ciroc by the caseload.
Man, I remember when Ciroc was cheap before Diddy started putting his
good
name
point.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now Ciroc, you know, we don't do no promotions with Ciroc. You know, Ciroc, we might buy a bottle of Ciroc every once a month. You know, like.
Just one bottle?
We might. We get flavors. Mm. But it used to be we'd have to get cases of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been year and like we never, it was his tequila never took off.
What was that? De Leon?
Yeah. And so like then when you find out he really didn't have any ownership in the company, like a lot of his valuation as far as him being a billionaire. So, I mean, he got this new album coming out on, what is it? Love Records. Yep. Don't get me wrong. Gotta Move On. That was a song of the summer, maybe last year.
Mm.
But, you know, he's put out Act Bad and Sex in the Porsche. And those songs, you know, came and went so quick.
Yeah, this mug is
some of y'all don't
heavy.
Even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't. But this next one
as
is
a DJ,
feature heavy.
Yeah, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I have no idea. I know the first one you said, but the other two, nah. His son was getting more play.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because for a minute, they were kind of neck and neck.
And his son has mastered the nostalgia.
He hasn't mastered it.
Well, I mean,
all he's doing is taking his daddy's records.
He's just cosplaying. He's just cosplaying his dad.
I misspoke. Yeah. I been mastering is wrong. I misspoke.
Every one of his singles
is literally
is one of his dad's old records.
Yeah.
Or even if it's not old record, it's like, oh, let's take the aesthetic from one of my dad's videos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at him, but
it's almost the, you know, everybody talks about how Kobe would mimic Jordan.
Nah, that's different. That's way different.
Well, I mean,
Kobe actually had to do these moves.
I get
he had
that
to
part.
Hit these shots too.
It's more like Jordan's son and Jordan.
Yeah, when he came to play.
Okay.
When he came to play Eric Gordon
and got smoked.
That's more so what it was. Maybe I should give him a little more credit than that. But
yeah, maybe.
No, you don't have to.
So I'm gonna kind of twist the conversation a little bit and
okay.
I see what you guys think about this, because I'm not 100% sure on this, but I do know that after a specific period of time,
mm-hmm.
you have a chance to terminate certain copyrights and get ownership back of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Copyright Act. Let's look this up here. So I went to copyright termination experts.
Okay.
So here's what you need to know. There are two basic statutes of the Copyright Act in which the law of termination has been established. And the law that's more prominent at the present time, Section 203, also known as the 35-year law, it allows for the termination of both grants of rights in post-1977 sound recordings, i.e. record contracts, and musical compositions, i.e. publishing agreements, co-publishing agreements, etc., 35 years after publication of work. Mm. Maybe Diddy's just jumping the gun on this.
He's like, I gotta get back. But this is the thing.
That's a very good point.
I did see Drez from Black Sheep Black talk Sheep. About how there's another rule as far as your masters or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And after 30 years, it should revert back, but you have to put in the
paperwork.
The paperwork.
You still have to file it.
But if you don't do it, like say you have to do it 2 years before. And mm-hmm. if you don't do it, then basically whoever the cop person who has the copyright still gets to own it for like another 60 years. So yeah. It's so nasty. But,
so what you're saying,
nasty. Record company is nasty.
Long, you're thinking sure. he's I didn't even know
he's
that.
Like,
even if he is jumping the gun, he could have sold all of that catalog.
He could have.
And pocketed that money.
He could have.
Because he still would have had ownership of it. And then after that 35 years or whatnot, then it goes back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he could have profited off of it, and then somebody else would have to deal with that.
Because right. if Irv got what? How many millions he got? If he got a 9-figure deal for Murder, Inc.,
yeah.
what? And I don't, he could have got for Bad Boy?
Yeah, he could have got a whole lot.
Come on,
and I
now.
Don't think that, and again, I'm kind of talking ignorant on this. I'm just kind of reading this, but I've generally known about this, but I never have looked into it deeply. But I don't think you get like 100% of your stuff back. But there is something in here. Yeah. So second, the older the law. So this is interesting. Section 304C presently only covers musical compositions and not sound recordings. So that's the older law. Mm. But it also goes in here. So this is actually interesting. For instance, if you wrote a song in 1965 and registered for the copyright in the date 1965, 56 years after that is 2022. This is the law currently being utilized by Paul McCartney to terminate Sony's right in 50% of the whole list of Beatles songs.
Mm. What?
I thought Mike owned a lot of that.
Well, remember, they sold once after he died.
Right.
Yeah. The family sold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the ATV they got catalog. Cashed.
So he says the law out. Will also cover sound recordings registered from February 15th, 1972 to December 31st, 1977. But we're just not there yet. In any event, this law is very important, and we are just now getting started with the terminations of the great songs of the 1960s. So
that's crazy.
So it's interesting how crazy. You know,
just gotta wait you out.
Yeah. So it's one of those. So it's. I guess it is very interesting. I think it is kind of a cool thing that Diddy is doing, but at the same time, I'm almost certain that he understands how these laws work. At the same time, so
I would've,
it seems like a very good publicity stunt.
But I never would. Had you not explained this, I never would have looked at it that way.
Right.
Because I'm looking at it from a knight in shining armor. Oh, he finally came around. That's how
I was looking at it like that.
What I'm saying is that's how this is being pushed. It's like okay,
sure.
fam finally came around and is doing the right thing, and you know what I'm saying. But mm-hmm. now with Lone saying this, yeah, I can see that.
Yes.
Or he's just trying to get his karma together.
He could be
potentially
doing that as well.
Maybe he's having a change of heart and he's becoming a better person. Who knows?
Now, he don't need the bread though. I don't think he needs.
He gave Mace $20,000 for publishing.
Well,
that's crazy.
To Jay's point, it says there's a note on here. It says there is a 2-year notice period after you send the notice of termination, and during this time, before the termination becomes effective, only the grantee, that is usually the record company or the music publishing company, has the right to try to make a deal with you for what happens after the effective date. So that kind of goes to your point. Mm. Like you still have to. It's sort of a statutory right of first refusal built into this whole process. You can make a deal or not. It's up to you. So
now he's putting the ball in their court.
Interesting.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, there it is.
So
there it is. Sometimes, you know, you have to that music industry paperwork is crazy. Like, you know, because if you look at certain, I think the NCAA had something very similar to where it was like, not only did it cover what happens on Earth, but say if we
like in the universe and all universes,
it was
and
like like basically Ed O'Bannon like looked in, you know, when they were doing the whole thing with the video games and how they were using
perpetually,
and it had something in there like basically if we start selling this game on Mars, you still belong to us.
Craziness.
Yeah,
all your base are belong to us.
Yep.
What happens on Earth?
That's about
what happens on Earth. Don't necessarily stay on Earth.
All your base are belong to us. Mm-hmm.
That's really all the video game
nerds out
there.
Yeah, it's just the video game nerds from like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Or late 90s even.
Where there was a lot of bad translations.
Yeah. We'll
talk about our partners real quick.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
All right, we are back. Shout out to the partners as always.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's talk features. Shout out to my homie Andrew Barber. there was a tweet that was reposted on, I believe it was I Still Love Her on IG.
Wanja.
Wanja, shout out to Wanja. Where the tweet says, Twista gives us a classic scene-stealing guest feature on Do or Die's Po' Pimp.
Yeah, he did.
With the legendary Trackstone production. This verse will set up the second act in Twista's career. So he's basically talking about dope features, and this is one of those features. I actually remember this, and this feature was fire.
Absolutely.
But it got me thinking with Barbara tweeting this about features that were, that stood out, like dominant features that come to mind, because this is easily one of the biggest features that I can think of where somebody clearly outshined everybody else and stole the show. Like, when I think about this record, I don't know about y'all, speaking for myself, I think about Twista.
Po' Pimp
by Do or Die.
I don't even.
P-I-M-P.
You know it.
You know it. You know
probably
it.
Probably if I heard it.
You know that
you
song.
You know, you've heard it 100 times.
And I think that automatically. I'm sorry. That song is fire though, but Twista stole. Like, it's really about Twista, if we being honest. Am I lying?
It is, because if you remember what Twista, or how he rapped prior to that song,
yep,
it was a completely different style.
Yep.
And he went by Tongue Twister.
Exactly.
And it was not gangster at all. Po' Pimp.
I mean, Hocus Pocus.
It wasn't gangster.
Okay, maybe not.
But none of that stuff.
You got to think about it, though, because when what Barbara is saying here about it being his setting up his second act,
yeah,
that's exactly what happened. That's accurate, what he's saying here. When we talk about, you know that song.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, okay.
You know that.
I don't know song titles.
There's no way that you could be from Knapp or Indiana or Anderson and not know what that song is.
Oh, he's heard that song.
I definitely know it. I just don't know. I don't know names of songs.
Yeah, that's why I was telling you, you know the song.
Yeah, he knows
the problem with me. I forget the titles of songs.
Yeah.
But and I know. So I, know exactly I knew as soon as you heard it, you know that record.
I know every word. No, I can't tell you the name of the song.
But are there features that come to mind with you all that are to the level, I'm not going to even say to the level, just features that stand out where somebody clearly,
outed everybody or just shine?
I mean, just an outstanding feature.
I would say Lupe's Touch the Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Because that kind of put him on another stratosphere.
Agreed. That's a
not
good one.
Intentionally, not meant speaking to be a bar.
Of, speaking of him, too, we didn't mention him when we were talking about the conversation about the underground artists.
Okay.
He's one of those people that could have been or didn't actually ascend as much as he could have. But go ahead, my bad.
Oh, here's one that I really think, and some people are going to be like, what?
A feature?
Yes. Eazy-E on For the Love of Money. Because the thing is, like, you have to play Eazy-E's part. It's kind of like with look.
That wasn't my favorite verse on that song, though.
I know, but you had to stand in on the corner straight.
That part is hard,
rocks,
though.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
But and it's because it reminds me of the Twister, because I know a lot of people, like most, you when you put on Po' Pimp, you can't mix out of it.
You gotta play Twister's part.
And his verse comes last. Yeah. So you almost have to, like, even though one of my favorite parts is like, ain't this
pulled up in a
C-A-D-I-L-L bumping
you
AC.
Can't, there's really AC blows. If you mix out of that song, you're going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah, somebody's going to be mad.
Lone actually just came out with a haymaker, though, because Lupe's, that is a very good, that's a very good suggestion, bro.
I got another one, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Killer Mike on The Whole World.
Absolutely.
Yes. Mm.
Killer Mike on Poppin' Tags.
Mm-hmm. Is another one.
Twista was on Poppin' Tags.
Yep.
But Killer Mike shines on that song.
Like, they had to kind of redo some things on that. Because,
that's what he said in that interview. Yeah. He said somebody changed their verse. He wouldn't name the name, but he said somebody had to go back.
Yeah, Killer Mike ain't no punk.
I'm trying to think if there are any other. Man, Lone, you got two bangers. Those are great examples. That really stood out where somebody stole it.
Busta Rhymes stole the show on Scenario.
True. Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, if you're going to play Scenario, you got to play Busta Rhymes part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From a DJ, I like how you're wording that, Jay Moore, from a DJ standpoint.
Yeah. Like, there are certain
songs parts that you have to play.
It's like, okay, I'm going to get 4 minutes. Yeah. And then maybe I can go to the bathroom, I can get a drink, because I'm not going to disappoint anybody by mixing another song.
Yeah, there ain't no reason to.
Oh, man, no, that's not good enough. I'm not going to say that. That's not good enough.
One that's like, you could, Selfish by Slum Village is Kanye's on that. That I mean, I don't want to say that he necessarily outshined anybody, but that I think that put a lot of eyes on the Slum Village that weren't on Slum Village before.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, you could say the same thing for the Dilated People's joints that Kanye
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, the same one. Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was,
that's fair.
I'll turn it up.
Common on I can't think of the name of the song.
It was a feature with Common. It was the
199.
Yeah, he went off on there.
But that was with what's his face?
There's Sadat.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Soundbombing, wasn't it?
Soundbombing.
Yeah.
There's another one though, man.
Common with a feature?
He was the feature.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out.
90s then, right?
Yeah, like where he actually. All right,
nah, here you go. On the Roots joint.
The Love of My Life.
Yeah.
You can't make. Yeah, if you're gonna play that record, you got to play Common's verse.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm. That's a good one. Yeah.
Mm.
Huh. These are all good. I don't know if there's a list. You know, we always.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Give me some
Eminem. Patiently Waiting with 50 Cent. You gotta play Eminem's verse.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Flavor in your ear. The first verse. You can really just play Biggie's verse.
Yeah.
Man, you don't want to hear it
moving. Man, you can play Biggie's verse and keep it moving.
You don't want to hear Rampage, The Last Boy Scout?
Nah.
Shout out to Rampage, though.
You can play Biggie's verse and keep it moving. Telling you.
I mean, I've seen it happen. So
yeah.
I mean, this is I think this is just a good collaboration. I was going to say the What with Biggie and Meth.
Because they're interchangeable. They're both good. Yeah,
they kind of do that. Yeah, that 1-2 punch on there.
Yeah.
You know what? I got a sleeper.
Above the Clouds with the Sounds of Original.
Great song.
Infinite Skills Create Miracles.
He killed that mug, too.
Yeah.
I got one for you. I'm going to go Paul Wall, Drive Slow.
Yep.
I'll take, give me
I'm
that.
With that.
To me, that's the best verse on that song. Kanye and GLC included.
I think
Paul Wall
has
the
right.
best verse on that song. You got to play his.
If anything, I could just jump to
Paul Wall.
Okay. Yeah. And for the people who aren't old heads, because once again, I've said Cardi saved the song, but on Tomorrow Too.
Yeah.
Basically, you can't just play Glorilla's part and not play Cardi's.
That's true.
You can't.
I'm not that familiar, but I'll take y'all word for it. Yeah, I'm asleep, but I take y'all word for it.
Yeah, and the same thing with Partisan Fontaine's backing it up. You got to play Cardi's verse.
Hey, that song with Drake and Lil Baby, which is on DJ Khaled's album, but Lil Baby outshines Drake on that song. I can't remember the name of it.
He did. I can't remember.
Why?
No, not that one. That was actually his song.
Okay.
Yeah. I know what Terry's talking about. That record actually was, I'm with that one. Mm. Yeah, he went off.
2 Chainz on You Ain't Got, well, you don't want no problems with Chance.
Hey, it's debatable on Cruel Summer joint with Kanye and all them.
Yeah.
2 Chainz had a very good verse on there.
Yeah.
You know what? Nicki Minaj's verse on
Monster.
Yes.
But doesn't she go first?
Does she go first on that one?
I think Rick Ross goes first.
Man, she cut that mug up though. Yeah. If we talking about,
if you're gonna play Monster, you better play Nicki's verse.
I got a B-side head one from the mid 2000s.
Give me a good one.
De La Soul's Rock Cocaine Flow, but with MF Doom.
Oh,
because MF Doom, the MF that's Doom.
That's one of the only joints that I really rock with MF Doom.
You kind of have to play his part.
Me
and Terry been. We're on the same side from Doom. It's more after. But I totally agree with what you're saying on that, though.
Nah, he can rap. He's a wordsmith like a mug. But yeah, on that song, absolutely.
Shouts to Jake One, because that is one of the best beats ever created.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. For sure.
And he did something similar on Freeway with the still, like.
Are we missing any iconic features from
probably
members from the Wu?
Oh, yeah. Street Life. On I can't remember the song on Method Man's second album. It's the one that dun 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 dun. That's how the beat goes, and it's
Spazola.
Is that the name of the song?
I don't know.
Street Life goes completely off on this song.
If you know it in the chat, or not in the chat, but in the comments, let us know, because I can't think of it off top, but I think I know what you're talking about.
He actually got a couple joints on there where he go completely nuts, in my opinion.
Anything else from Street Life after that?
Nope.
Oh man,
I don't think so. He's in the street.
Well,
you know what?
He did tour with him. Whenever Method Man has came here, Street Life has been with him.
I got a 90s. I got a 90s one for you. Tupac on with Breed. I got to get mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
He killed
that's
that.
That's accurate.
Yeah, you got to play.
Go back and listen to that record, bro.
Like, even I Get Around, though. But the Digital Underground verses are classics, too, though.
Bro.
Okay.
But him with Breed, though, he bodied that.
Here's a definite one. I mean, and you can... I mean, it's only 2 verses, but the guest goes first. AZ on Life's a
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a good one. Good call, Jay.
Yeah.
I like that one. I like that one.
Because it's not like Nas was slouching on that.
Nah, he wasn't.
But AZ shine.
AZ rap like his
bro,
life was on the line.
Now that I think about it, I'm tripping. Same song. Tupac. Again.
Tupac killed it on there. And
that's one of his best verses to me.
Was shorter than everybody.
Because you know what's crazy? You know who was just famous? You know who was just as famous as Tupac? His brother. Because he had the rap verse on Feels Good by Tony.
That's his brother?
Yeah, Mobarim Shakur.
Wow. I didn't...
Tony has done it again.
Yep.
As we're talking about Tupac, we can't forget about the title track to All Eyes on Me with Big Syke.
Oh. Gotta shout out Big Syke.
Rest in peace of Big Syke, man.
I got keys.
Coming from overseas.
Thanks, Longwood.
What was that? Actually, staying on All Eyes on Me, though, there was the joint with Redman.
Oh, yeah.
Got my mind made up.
I don't know if that one sticks out like in the caliber of the ones that we're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, it was fire, but
definitely
I don't know.
Big Sykes, though. Okay.
Big, I'll give you Big Sykes.
I'm just saying.
Shout out to Big Sykes.
I'm going
to
give you another one off the album Everybody's Mad at Us About Art of War.
Oh, here we go.
Biggie had the best verse on that song.
No, you're talking about Tupac. Art of War is Tupac.
Tupac.
No, I'm thinking of on Biggie's
Life After Death.
Yeah, I guess.
You talking about Notorious Thugs? Features.
Never mind.
Notorious Thugs.
Yeah, Notorious Thugs. Biggie definitely had the best verse.
Armed and Dangerous.
Thanks, Long.
Ain't too many that can.
I don't know. Busy Bone got loose.
Yeah,
he got loose. He but Biggie.
You don't know what he said.
Exactly.
Though.
He's always talking. He always sounds like on that song. Every time I hear it, it just sounds like.
What'd you say?
Like a car. Like ding 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 ding.
Vroom vroom.
Hey, that song was fire, though, man.
It was. It was super dope, and his part was fire, too.
But. You know, they wrote that. They came in the studio and just bodied that. Biggie had to take it home. That's the story. They said Biggie had to take his home and come back. They came in there and blazed it. Just fresh off weed.
I can see that.
Fresh off weed.
That's what they said. They said, we smoked. Fresh off the weed. Hey, if it's a lie, he told it. Fresh off the weed, they went in there, and they all laid it down. Big took his home and
came. The money, got the head, got grand, and then the nick of the ding, 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 ding.
That song is fire, though, man.
7 8 at the bum bum.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Not the Bone Thugs, man.
He was actually taking a shot at 3-6 on that song, too.
Mm-hmm. He took a shot at 3-6 on him when he was on that Versus too.
Yeah.
Man, that got ugly. Well, could have got ugly. All right, man. Let's.
It was like, we got technical difficulties. Yeah. The technical difficulties were busy.
He says, y'all ugly mup ain't going to be mocking me.
With your ugly. All right, man. but I think we named some good ones. Those are good.
Throw us the ones we missed in the comments,
please. Yeah. If somebody has any better,
I know, because you know you'll say something. Look, comments, shout out. Some of y'all are terrible in these comments.
Some of y'all are just miserable, man.
Yeah,
go to therapy, man.
But you know, we get some. I know we talk about the bad ones, but we get some really good comments.
Yeah, the non-therapy people, we appreciate y'all. Yeah. The ones that are non-therapy, we really appreciate y'all.
I know Lil Wayne blazed somebody on something.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
I just can't think of what
Wayne got so many features. It's going to be hard to narrow that down because he pops out 9 times out of 10.
We didn't even mention Andre. So.
Oh, my God.
Walk It Out.
Walk It Out.
Yeah.
Not or some D's on it.
We Like the Party.
Some D's, yeah.
He killed that.
I mean, it's a Beyonce song.
Yeah,
though.
So it's not like he really outshined Beyonce.
Yeah, because we can say, Lil Wayne on Soldier, but you can't say that he outshined Destiny's Child.
No,
that's
but he, you know, what he did do is, you know,
that's
on Throw Some D's on it. It made you forget that Jim Jones and Murphy Lee are also on that
you
record.
You don't have to play nothing but the first verse on that song, the remix.
Same thing with Walk It Out. We don't even play DJ Unk's verse on that.
Shout out to DJ Unk for being smart enough to be like, we're going to get this legend on here real quick and I'm going to be all right.
Yeah.
Shout out to him for being smart enough. And,
you know, once again, what I said in the last couple episodes, hopefully DJ Unk saved some money.
Yeah, he probably did.
Well, DJ Unk was big in Atlanta anyway.
Facts.
Yeah, so
he's somewhere okay. He's all right. He's somewhere.
I'm pretty sure he is, because you know some people got to know their position in the game and don't think, yeah, I'm gonna go out here and buy a Bentley real quick.
Unk was
save your money, fam.
Yeah, he was lit down there.
Smooth Hoosier said LL on 4-3-2-1.
But it was his record though, wasn't it? Yeah.
If anything,
it's DMX on that song.
Mighty J Young, Black Thought on Bird's Eye View.
Okay,
I like that. I like that.
Okay, Twister. Who said is Twister on? Is That Your Chick?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Who said that? Shout out to whoever said
Smooth
that one.
Hoosier.
Smooth Hoosier.
There's also some other ones.
Cannabis on Beast from the East. Nas on Live from the Barbecue.
That's okay. A good one.
Yeah. And but he that's goes first too, so it's easy to keep
that's
him.
The one that's the Snuff Jesus verse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's okay, that's, yeah. That's when
he you, killed that. Yeah, he killed
okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah.
Deck on Tres Leches. I don't know. I don't think I know that one.
That's on okay.
What album is that? Yeah. Somebody tell
us what
album
it is. You
say
Black Thought on Super Lyrical off of Capital Punishment.
For
real.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You can say
good call, Jay Moore.
I can say Big Pun on
John Blaze.
John Blaze and on the one where they redid the
Deep Cover
track.
But that was,
but that was his record, though. Yeah, that was his record.
I'm thinking it was.
He's by far the feature on that.
Even Nature on Banned from TV, even though he goes first.
Long, what's yours? I don't want you to lose your train of thought.
No, so it's super underground. I don't know if anybody even knows this song, but this Torre has a song called Clap Shh, and Fonte's on it.
Oh,
and
word?
Fonte absolutely snaps.
He smokes that.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely snaps.
Wait, was it the album that Torre dropped the album?
I don't know when it was.
All right, I'm about to go back. What's the name of the record again?
Clap Shh.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. You know, we fooled Fonte, so.
Did Lil' Kim get a Mobb Deep?
Quiet Storm.
That's the part everybody knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Quiet Storm, it was a joint, but like when Lil' Kim got on it, it basically became her song.
Low-key,
yeah.
Lil' Kim verse on Get Money.
All About the Benjamins, too, really.
All About the Benjamins. Yeah, she shines on those. It's a pretty...
All About the Benjamins is good as a whole, but it's something about when she comes on.
Oh, no, it changes the energy of that song.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's hitters on that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's hitters on that record.
Yeah. I mean, Jadakiss has got all Chic, or was that
Kiss?
Yeah, Chic.
Kiss. Yeah, they all on there. But she kind of.
Kiss ain't on that one.
He's not, is he?
Is it Chic and Styles?
Yeah.
I got to look. Yeah, I might be tripping. But either way, she is very memorable on that record. 100%. That's a good call.
But then when Biggie comes in with that Jackson 5 sample, it's a problem.
Yeah.
kind of goes away after
Jada that. Kiss on the A Bay Bay remix. I feel like anybody could come in on the A Bay Bay
song. I forgot all about that.
I did
Ooh,
too.
Remy Martin, Remy Ma. She couldn't be Remy Martin on the Annie Up remix. Yes, yeah. she kills that.
I will 100% agree with that. I'll take
Busta Rhymes on that remix.
Yes.
True, Long. Yeah. True.
That's one of those remixes where like it became
Busta Rhymes now.
It became such a thing where you're like, okay, I know the original, but like I want to hear the remix.
You know what? Busta, I think Busta and Wayne.
Busta probably on the Chris Brown joint, because Chris Brown rapped on that, really.
Yeah, yeah. He stole that.
Yeah, he did.
Because that turned into a challenge.
So I have the
look at me now.
I have the ultimate. So who actually won control?
Oh, the control.
Kendrick won control.
Yeah.
I think Kendrick won control.
Are you going to say? I think Kendrick.
I definitely wasn't Big Sean.
No,
it wasn't Big Sean.
So, I mean.
I think Kendrick won control.
And then they don't even play, what's his name's verse anymore on there.
It wasn't Jay Electronica, was it?
Yeah, it's Jay Electronica.
See what you did there.
Jay Electronica.
Thank you.
Jay Electronica?
I see.
It has to be Kendrick, and it actually was recorded here.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, they recorded that verse here on the tour bus, is what the lore says.
Mm. That's what the lore says.
Yes.
Folklore.
A couple people backed it up. That they were on the bus and heard him going off. And
I mean, if those people are credible,
we're
going to rock with
they're
that.
They're credible.
Good call, Long. Yeah, Kendrick.
I got to go Kendrick on that song. I mean, because that song almost changed the trajectory of who was hot at that point.
I really believe with this Twisted comparison, it's funny that you keep it Chicago, but Long's Lupe on Touch the Sky, to me, that shot him through a cannon.
It did, but...
Kind of like it's the exact same thing.
That's the reason why I brought it up, because when we had the conversation about the people whose careers kind of got stagnant, I feel like Lupe is almost the king of that, because he was all the way there.
Them first two out the gate, two of the most amazing albums I've ever heard.
Yeah, they're amazing albums.
Yeah.
Food and Liquor is a masterpiece to me.
But did you have the bootleg of Food and Liquor?
Like, yes,
I listened to that. The bootleg of Food and Liquor had me open. I was like, bro, well, I listened to it so much. I was like, I gotta buy the album.
Food and Liquor has how many tracks? 18, 19 records.
Man.
Every last one of them joints was cold.
Lupe, them first two albums was crazy.
Phenomenal records, bro.
You couldn't tell me that Lasers wasn't supposed to be the one that shot him through the roof.
I did not like Lasers.
And it didn't. I mean, that's the whole problem.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked Lasers.
And he really snapped on Murals. for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Of all heat. Just the whole way through.
Look, I like that Lupe album where he was talking about dinosaurs.
That came out like Ellis. A year or two ago.
Kalen Ellis. Yeah, shout out to Kalen. He found Kalen Ellis online and they got together. Shout out to Lupe. Yeah.
But Lupe.
16 records on Food and Liquor before you do the iTunes Deluxe and all that. That album is phenomenal,
and
bro.
And then the cool, the whole concept behind the cool was crazy.
Dumb It Down was my joint.
Man.
My Cool what? Young History.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. He listed the characters in on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
That album was brilliant.
And Lupe is the coldest artist that cooled off real. Well, not necessarily cooled off, but.
Well, because he was on Atlantic and they was trying to be like, hey, can you do these songs with Trey Songz?
It was the weirdest.
Bro, Lupe.
Descension that I've ever seen.
Lyrically, Lupe is. He's GOAT level as an MC.
And
dude,
the thing
is phenomenal.
And
as
he's still dropping. He hasn't. It's not like he stopped making good music.
Like thank I said, you. I still
it's just that he did. It's just that he didn't ascend higher than maybe he should have.
Thank you.
Because he dropped two classic joints back to back, and that third one, especially when you heard the first single, Beaming.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
If that album had followed up what Beaming was,
we
would be talking about. Him in a whole different light.
Yeah,
it tailed off so quick after them two. Like you have two
label problems,
almost masterpiece records, and then you come up, you follow it up with that one. It's like Common's Universal Mind Control. That's what I would compare.
It's even different than that because Common had already solidified himself
in the
as that dude in the hip hop room.
That's fair.
He wasn't afraid to go at anybody. He went at Ice Cube and them.
That's a good point.
He wasn't afraid. He had already dropped. 3 or 4 classic albums up to that point.
I'm not mad at
Lupe
that.
Lupe had 2 fire joints.
Yeah.
Dropped that one and pretty much it was just like, eh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good call.
And it was like
I stand corrected.
It was the start of the blog era too, so times were a little different as well.
True.
Yeah.
So, cause he had the Fahrenheit series on the mixtapes.
That was earlier too.
Well, it was earlier, well, but it was in between, you know, as he was putting records out, but I remember that as well. All of those have heat. Those Fahrenheit mixtapes have heat.
Yeah, man.
Now, Lupe is definitely a God-tier MC, bro. He should definitely get his flowers.
And then if him, Kanye, and Pharrell had to drop the chess... what was it going to be called?
It was going to be called...
some chess team or something like that.
Well, I knew when I saw the announcement it was going to happen.
Man, if that had actually...
I don't
came
know.
Out.
Do you remember that long?
No, the possibilities of that? It doesn't actually sound very
you don't think
enticing.
So?
I think
that
it
version
does.
Of Kanye with Pharrell because, and Lupe?
Because the Touch the Sky verse with him and Kanye went back and forth was actually decent. And then you would have production from Pharrell.
I'm not sure if I'm really
the production part?
The production from Pharrell
with
for Lupe
and Kanye.
Common and Kanye. I don't know. We know what. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
That version of Kanye is one of my is my version of Kanye. That version of Kanye, I have way more faith in than you know.
What about the Pharrell version of Common?
Well, you got me there.
I mean, but he did do. I Got a Right To and Come Close off of Electric Circus.
Come Close is fire.
But I Got a Right To was all right.
Oh, I love that record.
Close is fire.
Come Close.
Yeah, that's undeniable.
Come
that's
Close is a good record, but it's... Fire is...
Long. Come Close is fire, man.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, but I love the remix, too. Remember the remix they hit?
Yeah. Come on, man. He was in the window. He had the signs. Come on, Long.
Yeah,
girl couldn't hear.
I know it. I've seen the video.
Like that joint.
Come on, man. That song, that record is dope.
Yeah, like, I'm a Common fan.
I know you are.
I'm just saying, like, if we're going to be out here and see, like, super groups, Pharrell is not who I would pick as the producer for that.
So what's
trying to go viral again, huh?
No, I don't think
that's not a hot take.
I don't even think
it's not a hot take.
None of this.
I'm not mad at him, though. I'm really not.
It's just, I don't know. And I'm a Pharrell fan. I just
hell yeah.
It's just
boy, one of the
I think
ghosts.
he's got a. It's like if you could put Timbaland in that same thing, and I would still be like, nah, I don't. The way that Lupe
even
raps,
if,
the way that Eminem rap or Eminem Common raps,
even if Kanye produced some of them,
I think if Kanye produced most of it, I think I would be
that
more on board.
Kanye,
I agree with that. I agree with
but
that.
If, once you start invoking the creativeness of like Pharrell, I think it almost takes away from like. The cleverness of the MC because you're paying too much attention to the production because of it's a little bit, you know, it's different. It's, I don't know. That's to me, and that's not necessarily a bad thing for Pharrell or for Timbaland.
It just wasn't a good match.
I mean,
so what do you consider, or is there any group or project that should have came out or was talked about that never came out that you wanted to happen?
I know mine off top.
Not that I can think of.
I know mine off top.
The Dr. Dre one?
No. Tribe Called Cast. To me, that's number one all time.
But wasn't that supposed to be like a few years ago, though?
Well, was supposed to happen before Five
passed away.
A few years ago. But, you know,
to me, that's the one in terms of what ifs. That's my number one.
Maybe if it was like 2005 or 2000, I don't know about 2015.
Nope,
same type of like impact.
I'm taking it.
It wouldn't have the same type of impact. But did you not like Tribe's last album?
Yeah, I did.
It was straight, but I couldn't tell you anything from it.
Okay.
Maybe I'm being biased because those are two of my favorite groups, but if they would have put that together in 20,
I'm not,
God bless the dead will fight, again, but 2017, I would have been super excited.
I feel like I have to clarify. I'm not saying that it would be bad.
Oh, no, I get what you're saying.
I'm not clarifying for you. I'm not saying that it would be bad. I'm saying that that it's not something that I don't know. Yes, I would definitely would like it, but if I'm going to put like tier levels of everything, like Kanye, Common, Lupe with some sort of Chicago producer production, that would even want that probably more than like, you know, the native, or not native tongues, but the tribe, and I don't know. That then again, that's on New Andre versus
I need that with Q-Tip production
fan of Q-Tip production like that.
Q-Tip and Organized Noise, though, my mind wonders
I'd
when
rather
I hear, that.
Hear Organized Noise.
More you so have more heavy on
for Q-Tip
more heavy on, more heavy on Organized Noise, right? Or what is that what we're saying?
I think I would want to hear a Soulquarians neo soul album.
Or Soul Aquarians, yeah.
Just a Soul Aquarians project.
Yes.
Like a combination.
That's a good one.
That
that's
sounds
one.
Great, but I remember there was a Dungeon Family album, and it wasn't bad.
The Dungeon Family album, in my personal opinion,
you know, I was
a fanboy at that time, so true. They couldn't do no wrong.
I was as well.
I feel what you're saying, but it was just like.
I was as well.
I'm more of
the fact that I haven't really revisited that album in years.
But it's got some joints on there.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it doesn't.
Yeah.
But to me, the Soulquarians are different than the Dungeon Family. Dungeon Family's got people I don't really care to hear. Soulquarians don't really have anybody I don't want to hear.
Yeah. Hmm? I think if they did a neo-soul-esque album.
Solely produced by them.
With like a feature here and there from like a Common or.
And Dilla and that Dilla album would, Love.
That album would have been crazy. Been
Supervisors, yeah.
James Poyser, all them guys in there together, that would have been stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Got Badu and D'Angelo singing.
That might be the one album.
Layla Hathaway, people like that sliding through. Yeah, that would have been stupid.
Don't even need her. But yeah,
that could have kept Neo Soul in the limelight for a little bit longer, even though it still gets mad play.
Yeah.
But that Neo Soul air was only about 5 years long.
It's pretty short.
The run was nice, though.
Because part of it had to do with the consistency of, you know, it was like everybody was like, okay, D'Angelo, let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like he brought Brown Sugar was like 94, 95.
Fire had the tape.
Oh, no. We're not. And then he comes with, then he comes with
Voodoo.
Fire.
2000.
Fire.
And then we don't hear from him another 15 years.
True.
Yeah. You know, he's out playing church music and chilling.
I think he was eating snacks.
Playing church music and chilling.
He was eating snacks. I mean,
you know, he would sneak on something. Like, you might get a D'Angelo feature on Slum Village album.
Or on a soundtrack.
Or you might get something on like, the Baby Boys. Yeah, the Baby Boys soundtrack. Mm-hmm. You know, but
wasn't he on You Will Know?
That was kind of his first look on the...
That's right. Jason's Lyric.
But then he would, you know... I remember he was on The Ride... Remember that movie with Cedric the Entertainer as the rapper? It's rappers on the bus.
Mm, going to the Million Man March?
No.
That wasn't that. That was...
No, he had a song on that album, too. That's why you're getting it confused.
Yeah, yeah.
No. He had a remake of She's Always in My Hair on that one. But then
I love that track.
Yeah, and he has a song called I Found My Smile Again. It's about his son that was on the Ride soundtrack.
Yeah, I still spin that track, actually.
Yeah.
When we talk about D'Angelo and Erykah Badu... I guess other people didn't start coming on board till later. So right. I guess the Neo Soul era might have been about 10 years.
I mean, you could put Maxwell in there. And then
when did Maxwell's album come out? 97, 98?
I don't know if that falls in. Well, maybe it does.
No, that's Neo Soul.
It's Neo Soul. But when I think Neo Soul, the artists that come to my mind are the people that we're talking about. Badu,
But he qualifies.
He qualifies.
He does qualify. Dwayne qualifies.
You could put Music Soulchild in there.
Absolutely. You could put Music in there. I agree.
You could put Jill Scott in there.
I agree. Angie Stone even, kind of.
I agree. You
know,
I agree.
And then there were a bunch of people who didn't do, you know, Stephen Simmons.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of other people. Y'all don't know. I remember because I had a Neo Soul radio show, and I was at one point I was getting sent all this stuff.
Did you play Darian Brockington?
Shout out to Darian Brockington.
No, this
what
was
about Yazara?
2000.
Thank you, Long.
Musina?
Let's go. This was 2000.
Musina, that fits.
She's
but
fire.
It was further down.
Yeah.
My guy from Louisville, what was his album called?
Nemo.
No. You talking about Nemo or Cheetah?
Yeah.
I hate him.
Jack Harlow.
I hate him.
Jack Harlow.
I hate him.
Dang, I can't.
I really hate him.
His name escapes me, but the cover was, he was like in a classroom and it was a chalkboard.
Oh, Donnie.
Yeah.
The colored section.
The colored
which
section.
Which is still to this day.
Yes.
I did play his records on commercial radio.
Yes.
And
I feel like you've had
a big deal.
You've probably had 5 or 6 shows that we don't know about. Did you have like a blues, Mississippi blues show that you hosted or something?
He had a show he was playing the spoons on.
Yeah, no, like no, what did we miss here? Did
no,
you play?
No, this is about, like I said,
an hour of Bobby Bland or something like that. What were you doing, bro?
There was already somebody doing that. Shout out to Dr. Jockenstein. You know,
Bobby
rest
Blue
in peace.
Bland.
Thank you, Long.
Eric Roberson, yes.
Absolutely. Eric Roberson was part of that.
My mom and them played blues, man, so I know about Bobby and them.
There's somebody else I'm thinking of.
Bryson Tiller.
I would say
Eric Roberson has some heat. Still do.
Cody Chestnut,
yeah.
Tigalero is fire.
But Cody Chestnut, his blend was more rock, but not hard rock, though. It was like I can't really classify it.
The Headphone Masterpiece is one of those things.
That's a really good album.
When you go back and listen to it, you'd be like, how did he get away with some of this stuff? But it was really great.
Yo, he toured with The Roots back in the day.
I went to that show.
Yep.
I want to get a question in for you.
Moonchild, too.
Shout out to Moonchild, yes.
Yeah.
Fire.
Well, see, those are more, I will say this, because I kind of said that Neo Soul kind of fell off within about 5-10 years. Those are more so people that are carrying the flag right now.
For sure.
For neo-soul.
For sure.
But I kind of think that the actual genre could have been a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
You know what I'm saying? In some sense.
It kind of flattened.
Yeah.
You know,
Please do your due diligence and look up Moonchild. And
or even...
They Are Fire.
Raphael Sadiq's Instant Vintage album.
Come on.
Oh, come on now. That was...
Come on. Man, top to bottom.
Incredible.
Yes. Top to bottom.
I mean, it's...
Top to bottom.
Kind of the stuff like Terrace Martin does a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, like, the guys that, Robert Glasper.
Yeah. Robert Glasper is amazing. Oh,
yeah, shout out to Overwhelming Slice bringing up some
Lucy Pearl.
Yeah.
What's Robert Glasper's series called?
Black Radio.
Black Radio. Mm-hmm. Fire, all of them.
Yeah.
Every last one of them is incredible.
Yeah, I will say that they are carrying the flag for more recent Neo Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get a question
Groove
in for
Theory.
You.
You can even put them in there.
I want to get this question in for you guys.
Before Mel was with solo, got away from Bryce.
Mm-hmm. Before we bounce. So BG is home. Did you guys see that? BG? BG is home. Birdman greeted him. He's out.
Did he have his publishing?
I hope he has his best interest at heart by being there to
greet
him.
That's why I'm asking. Because here's my question. First of all, shout out to BG for being home. I did not realize.
You owe me money, Playboy.
Playboy. Y'all remember the Show Bus Shawty videos?
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
My thing with BG is I did not think that BG's legend and his aura would last as long. People are so excited about BG coming home.
Are they?
Yes. Cool. I'm seeing multiple posts.
People our age.
That's what I'm asking. Maybe it's our age, but I'm asking, what does the landscape look like for BG coming out of jail?
Exactly.
Is it strictly just we back out here and it's a nostalgia tour?
Yes,
or is there a pocket for him to make records?
Listen, he's going to make records.
All right.
But now we can have a Hot Boys reunion tour.
That's what I'm talking about.
So
Turk
that,
out?
That's the grab right there. Turk is out.
Yep. I mean, they need Wayne, though.
They need Wayne.
They need Wayne.
Wayne's going to do it. I guarantee you
he's going to do it.
Wayne will do it.
All right. All right.
I think Wayne will do it.
How much that tour would bring him in, wouldn't it?
I'm going.
I would go.
I would go see that tour.
I would go.
I actually went and seen them.
Jay Moore kind of scoffed
here.
At that. Look at Jay Moore.
I came here with Rough Riders at one point in time.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Cash Money Rough Riders tour.
What I'm asking is that the lane versus the possibility of new records? Would I be opposed to BG making new records with some production that's, I don't know, the updated kit, and we'll see what
he's
he does.
He's going to.
Yes, I would look forward to see what he does.
None of these people stop making
but the
music.
But the lane is what Terry hit on, I think. That's the play.
I mean, we just had this conversation about nostalgia tours and how they do much better than
we
the
did.
Newer ones.
We did.
You know how many, man, if the Hot Boys go on tour together.
Yep.
They will probably sell out every spot they attend.
And it's going to be people our age and younger. That's going to go.
Yeah, because they'll be like, oh, who are these guys that Lil Wayne is with?
Exactly.
Yep. And at the same time, I would
but
say.
But then there are people who will be like, oh, yeah, Juvenile's going to be here.
And 100%. If Manny Fresh goes too.
100%. If he's the DJ.
Manny Fresh is the DJ.
Yeah.
That'd
they do some
tour.
Big timer stuff.
It's a wrap.
Man, that would be a really good tour.
And they could tour. Look, if they toured with 3-6 Mafia and did Tear the Club Up,
man.
Thugs.
Nah, see, you trying to get a fight started.
Yeah, I am.
But at the same time, if you ask me if I'm interested in new BG music, I wasn't really a big fan of BG when he was
I wasn't either,
so.
But that's why I led off with what I did, because listen. I wasn't aware that BG, I knew BG's a, you know, associated with the Hot Boys, he a legend. I didn't know it was like that, though. It's people
BG
that love BG.
BG taught Wayne how to rap.
That's what I'm saying.
So
like,
if you listen to early Hot Boys,
mm-hmm.
Wayne and BG sounded very similar.
Yep.
Like their cadences and how they structured words and things of that nature.
Yep.
Their voices was different, but the way they rapped sounded very similar.
To me, Wayne was always better than BG.
Wayne was my favorite all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Whole time,
and I think
I was listening to,
and they
the
were
Hot
all
Boys.
They all kind of sounded similar, and I think for me it was just like, well, out of all of the guys that sound very similar, I'm gonna go with the person that
they
actually
all had that. They all had that Nolans, though. They all had
for
that.
Sure. And I'm not, you know, people love them. That's great. I was just never personally a big fan.
That Chopper City in the Ghetto.
Yeah, you're right. Chopper City in the Ghetto.
Yeah, that mug was cold. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Cash Money.
He could pull records off that.
A Navy.
The Hot Boys, and like you said, each of them can do.
The tour would be crazy.
The tour would
be nuts.
But I think what Terry hit on, we talked about Manny Fresh. To me, that's the icing on the cake. If Manny Fresh goes as the DJ, it's a wrap.
Yeah, they need to get that paperwork together and make sure everybody getting paid.
Yeah, shout out to BG, man. I mean, it's been
I'm
a minute.
I'm just happy he's home.
Yeah.
And he's able to get, you know, because I.
There
exactly.
It
is. I was, you know, because I had a chance to, like, you know, kind of interview him back in the day. And, like, mm-hmm. He clearly was struggling with some issues.
Yeah.
You know, and so hopefully, you know, whatever those issues are as far as substance abuse, he's been able to clear those out and come home and be clean and be safe and happy with his family.
I want to see how he.
I think he did 11 of the 14 he was supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's Louisiana. You're going to do your time.
They do not play.
See, murder's still in there.
So
and,
is.
You know, and, you know, hopefully, I mean, because, like, just a lot of times, you know, we champion people like, yo, bring somebody and sell somebody home. And then, like, when you start looking at, like, actually looking at the paperwork and,
yeah,
and you seeing why so many people are so into someone coming home, you're like, wow. I mean, despite the fact of his name being C Murder, he probably did not do what they're accusing him of doing.
100%.
You know, and I'm
writing on the wall says that he didn't
that
do
he
it.
Didn't do it. And yeah. They're just like, you know. A lot of times prosecutors are clout chasers too.
100%.
And so, like, if you can get somebody named C Murder who, you know, is in a famous rap crew, and if you can lock him up, yeah. You can make a name for yourself as a prosecutor by doing that.
Just
and
like I, Mac necessarily didn't even do
yeah,
what he did.
So I've seen and what he like they need to go ahead and bring C Murder home.
Yeah.
That would be another. First of all, it would be a dope story for him to come home. And that would be another situation where it could turn into something else for him as well.
I think a Cash Money reunion tour is going to do better than a...
Agreed.
No Limit.
No Limit.
They got bigger stars.
I mean,
they got Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne.
I'm sorry, there you go.
It has
Lil
been
Wayne,
in the conversation of the greatest rapper. So
off Wayne and Juvie alone, it's pretty much... You
it's
know.
Really just Wayne, though. I mean,
it is Wayne.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, Juvie's definitely
Juvie's a part of that. Though.
Definitely,
it's
significant.
More, it's definitely
but,
more so Wayne.
But Wayne is like his stardom has transferred all the way to like a brand new generation.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, so
like he's look, he's
that's true.
He's on FS1 doing
come
Skip
on
Bayless
man
show.
Come
like
on.
There are people who shouldn't have any concept of who
and you,
Lil
and
Wayne
you,
is.
You know what's crazy with him being on FS1 doing the opener, doing the record that opens the show. He done a new one since they rebranded.
Yeah.
Shannon left. And him being on the show as well, I'm used to it because of who Wayne is. It's not shocking that he's on there. It's like, yeah, that's Lil Wayne. Wayne is a superstar, like Lone said. He's a megastar. I'm not shocked that they went and got Lil Wayne and have him talking about sports. It doesn't shock me at all.
I don't know how I feel
different
about
animals,
rappers being as sports commentators. Personally, now, but
now,
you know
how you feel about it versus
I
you
understand.
Know,
it.
Have you seen, yeah, Mace and Cameron talk about sports?
Oh God,
it's entertaining.
Is it?
I don't watch it.
It kind of is.
I am not interested in that. I'm not interested in that at all. Yeah.
I wasn't one at first, but then I caught a clip. I was like, okay,
yeah. They were actually athletes. So
were they?
I know Cam who
played on the same prep team.
I know they say Cam was nice. I don't know about Mace. They say Cam was nice, but I don't know if I need them with the sports talk. Wayne,
they just sound a pretty good deal.
Oh, get your money now. I ain't, you know, get your money, but I'm just saying.
And it's kind of comedic at the same time too.
No, it's funny. Like that's the part of the, that's the draw. That
but you know, everybody has, there's ex-athletes, ex-artists, everybody's pivoting obviously into the podcast thing. Something we've been doing for going on 7 years. Now everybody is going to, it doesn't matter. Like no matter where you come from, you can talk about entertainment if you're an athlete. If you're an athlete, you can talk about entertainment. All of it is being blurred now. It's just people talking about everything. Like a lot of the sports, some of the sports guys, they stick to sports, but there's also sports people that talk about sports and entertainment. Everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of
Cameron had a album called Sports and Entertainment.
He did.
Well, I mean, there's another word in
there. Yeah, there's a couple more things.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I see where you're going, though.
I don't. You know, and that's fine. I personally, there's so much media out there with how selective I am with what I consume in general.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not interested in that. Mm. You know, like I would rather listen to somebody who literally is an expert in their field talk about stuff than somebody who is just a fan talk about some stuff who has participated kind of a little bit in the past.
So if you, I'll just ask you, Lone, as a consumer, if you see a podcast where an athlete has the podcast, but the athlete is, you know, dibbling and dabbling into talking about, you know, music or whatever genre, hip hop, we'll just say rap or whatever. Does that turn you off as a consumer?
I don't need a Dame Lillard podcast about hip hop.
That's what I'm asking. So that would you go right past that? You bypass that?
I would personally. Yeah, I don't care anything about that. Like,
okay,
the JJ Redick show is really cool because that's what JJ does.
Agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like Skip. Or Skip. I'm acting like Shannon now. I like Shannon simply because
Club Shay Shay.
Yeah, because you know I like kind of how he does everything. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like the people he brings on and how the ways that he talks in
true.
General.
True.
You know what I mean? So I don't know, but different strokes for different folks.
He does the sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the best tight ends to ever play
absolutely.
The game.
Absolutely. On one of the best teams.
Yep.
You can't front on that Broncos team.
Yeah, they went front on that Ravens team.
They went bike to bike. Ooh, the Broncos,
you know, three
did.
Super Bowl rings. You can't really, you know.
He's never lost in the Super Bowl. Not too many people can say that.
Yeah. I mean, most people don't get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters, but you know.
Come on, Lone, he ain't lose.
So he wasn't the only person playing.
He said, "Come on, man,
he ain't lose though. You got to give him."
That's
him.
Great. Doesn't matter
at all.
No.
So
yeah,
if you, I'm just Dan Marino's I'm being Mike on this one. So if I'm 3-0 in the Super Bowl.
Who cares?
And you're 3-3 in the Super Bowl.
Am I better?
That means you got there
I got there more times.
Okay. So that's what I said about LeBron.
I was about to say, as a LeBron fan,
you're not supposed to say that.
I'm just saying.
No, but that's what it is. I mean, people act like getting to that place is easy.
It's not. And
I think that, you know, we're getting off tangent here, but I mean, at the same time, it's a team sport. Not 100%. One person, especially in football, can make or break a game.
No. Agreed.
Maybe in basketball a little bit. But
more impact in basketball, but not definitely in football.
You know, football, you need, I mean, the Ravens won with Trent Dilfer as a quarterback.
They did. And they were scoring like 9 points a game.
Your offense can be on fire and your defense ain't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That year, that first one the Ravens won, the only points they gave up was on special teams.
Yeah.
They should have shut the Giants out that year.
Yeah. The year that the Bears played the Colts, the Bears defense was just really good. Their special teams was really good. Their offense was average.
Yeah. Devin Hester started the Super Bowl.
Would have touched
it. That was scary. That was a little scary.
I
know you was hype. He was hype. I know he was.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
Man, I was ready.
Master P went and calmed everything down on the rain and took care of business.
I had a Nathan Vasher jersey.
Prince came out for halftime.
Hey.
Was that the best halftime
show?
Is that the one where it rained?
Yep, it was raining in Miami.
Wow. I didn't know it was that one.
They had the purple. That show was fire.
How good that Super Bowl halftime was. That you don't even remember who played that day.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Well, it matters as a coach.
No, I remember.
It does.
I remember.
I actually didn't remember that was that.
I was actually that year, I was more hyped that we made it to the Super Bowl than actually winning the Super Bowl. And I was hyped for both of them. But beating
the Patriots.
The Patriots to go to the Super Bowl.
That yeah. was so good. And the thing so is,
like,
good.
The beginning of that game, it was like, well, this is what it yes. is.
I yes. had people, I never forget, I had people call me from, because I was in Chicago for the Super Bowl, me and my man P-Sake. We were living there. So I had so many people hit me up. I told you, I told you. I said, look, be careful.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yeah,
be careful.
Now, even I knew.
I'm like, yeah. y'all good at special teams. I was like, but we still got Master P. We still mm-hmm. got, let's just be cool.
I mean, I was a diehard Bears fan, but, you know, I also followed the Colts. Rex very, Grossman. Very, come on, very, man. Very heavy.
Come on, y'all man. Had Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Come so, on, man.
Master, we had P money.
Master yeah. P was about hey, that
we had
action.
Kyle Orton. He was back there calling plays
yeah.
or something.
Oh, Purdue. Yeah. Yeah. Kyle Orton. Yeah.
Yeah. You remember when he dropped all those points on Ball State?
He sure did. I was at the game. embarrassed us. Yep.
That's my alma mater, so I feel happy about that, even though he was an average.
Jay Moore, listen, you talk about being disrespectful. The first year they made the extensions on the press box at Purdue, mm-hmm. that first year we went there as media for Ball State. You talking about somebody eating all the food and all the stuff that was laid out for the media. I was so disrespectful, man. But yeah. I was acting like I hadn't been anywhere. My mama would have been so bad.
Yeah, I mean, you hadn't been there.
Maybe.
I was acting like I had never been here.
I
haven't.
Let me tell you something. I had been Lone places. When I got to be in, when I went to the Colts, I think they played the Dolphins that day. And I was a guest of Sharp Electronics in the box. When you're not down with the unwashed masses and you get to be in a luxury box.
Bro, in the bougie section.
Oh, my goodness. I got a massage at halftime. I was eating scrimps. Chicken fingers. I had scrimps. Come on steaks. Now.
The spread they had at Purdue.
At a nacho bar. You best to believe I was in
there.
To take a plate home.
The media spread they had at Purdue.
Walking out the stadium with a plate is crazy.
I was like, y'all got some foil?
coming from a Mac school, the spread they had at Purdue, bro, and it's a new part of the stadium, mm-hmm. bro, I was acting like I hadn't been anywhere long. It was embarrassing.
You were just doing what you were supposed to be doing.
I was like, look, somebody's supposed to eat.
That's where he's going to get back. He's going to get another
plate.
That's
where that phrase comes from, bro. Not knowing.
Yeah.
I was definitely looking
for
foil.
Anytime I've been in a VIP situation, you know, I remember one time I introduced, there's a long story this I'm not going to do today. I introduced Kool & the Gang at the America's Fair when I was with
you was Clear important.
Channel.
You was
oh,
important.
Yeah, and I was back there. Now, mind you, it's one of those fairs where you got to buy tickets mm-hmm. to get all your food and mm-hmm. drink or whatever. And so, like, everything is way overinflated.
Yep.
Man, yeah. I was back there in the little section with the other media and the artists.
Putting that work in.
You best to believe I had my little, because I was still in college, so like I was struggling like college students.
You don't
struggle.
Get to eat like that as you a know, college
just
student.
Because I was working on a radio, I didn't make a lot of money working mm-mm. on a radio. So you best to believe when I left up out of there, I filled my, they had all these tall boys, a Bud Light product. You best to believe I filled up my backpack. I made a plate. I'm not even gonna lie, I made a plate. I took some stuff home.
I mean, I played a festival before and definitely left with like a bottle of liquor. That was
as you should.
Look, get real. Treese, I took a couple cases of
Water.
That water, I took it home. I still got some.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's at the end of the night, you know.
Jay Moore, I didn't see the signature. I didn't see the signature Jay Moore cup, but I also know it was so hot out there. I understand.
That's all. I drank nothing but water that day.
100%. All right, man. Is there anything that you gentlemen want to say before we wrap up? I know we.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
you gonna leave it with that?
Look, we left it on the field, son.
Straight up. Peace out. Uh-huh.
All right, man. That'll do it for this show. Remember, newoldheads.com for all the education that you need this year. If you see it, like it, subscribe, share, sign up for it. We appreciate your support as always, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Yeah.